Boker Tov Rebbe.
Boker Or World. Gabi, turn off your screen if you're driving. Off the screen. Keep your camera on. We don't mind watching you drive. We don't want you watching us. Okay, Boker Tov, everyone. Today's daf in Masechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Hei. And once again, we're holding in the middle of this tremendously exciting sugya, which has to do with understanding the relationship of mechitzot to the area that they enclose and the purpose of the enclosure, not simply the use of the enclosure. Remember, we expanded that idea. We have one concept of the diurim of the enclosure, one concept of the use of the enclosure, another concept of the purpose of the enclosure, which means it's nogea, how it was originally created. And that's the idea of mukaf ledira. So we have this basic concept of an area that is the same as the Mishkan. And the Chotzer HaMishkan, which is 5,000 square amot, is considered to be, by definition, an area by itself, in one term. So if it's that size, it has a definition. If it's less than that size, it doesn't have a definition. But if it's that size, it has a definition. And we saw that having a definition in terms of use is very important, because there's a machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan that kicks in the moment the Rishus has a definition. And that is that according to the Chachomim, you cannot carry from one defined Rishus to another defined Rishus, even if it's owned by the same people, and there's no problem of Eruvin. These are different Rishuyas. So because of that, you wouldn't be able to carry in a case where there might be additional people involved, to carry from a roof to a chotzer, to a karfav, to a mavoi. All of these things would require specific Eruvin in each area, because they're defined separately. And even if it's not a question of the urin, it's defined separately as enough to aser it. So you've got two places that are kosher to carry in completely on their own. According to the Rabbanu, you can't carry from one of those areas to another of the areas. Why? The same reason you can't carry midiraisa from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. And we understood originally the extension of Erevin to mean areas that look like Rishus HaRabim would aser on areas that look like Rishus HaYochid. This is a much bigger idea, because over here what it's saying is Rishut qua Rishut. Forget about Rabbi Yochid. That's not the issue any longer, according to the Rabbanan. Note what a tremendous extension that is. They just snuck in on us that there's this new idea of carrying from one type of Rishut to another type of Rishut. So let's say carrying from a Chotzer into a Rechava. Well, what the heck? Both of those are mutter to carry in themselves. Doesn't matter. According to the Rabbanan, you can't carry from one into the other. And yesterday, we ended with this new idea of networks of Rishuyot and what the impact is on dealing with one part of the network on the rest. And remember, that was the fascinating case where we had a street, which was really a mavoi technically, because it was like, wasn't a cul-de-sac, because it was open into Rechava on the other end, but it wasn't Rishus HaRabim. It was like this mavoi that was open on one end to a Rishus HaRabim. And then it had like these, you know, suburban homes built around it. They were all coming out into that area. So that it was essentially a mavoi. And then it opened up into a Rechava. And then that Rechava opened up on the other side to the Shvil Shel Kromim. And that Shvil Shel Kromim ended at a yam that had a seawall. So that was a network, and we ended up saying, look, we can't do anything, at least according to Rava, we can't do anything for the Shvil Shel Kromim, which according to Rashi is itself a mavoi because there were houses that were open to it. Why not? Because people won't realize that we're being semich on the seawall. So we would have to do something to the other side. That we certainly didn't want to do two things. Theoretically, obviously, we could have. And we couldn't do anything that was dangerous, in danger of being knocked down, which, by the way, was a side point, but it's an important point, that if you've got a Tzeres HaPesach that is not really going to stand, it doesn't work even while it's standing. So it could be it doesn't have a shame of a Tzeres HaPesach. That, the Gemara raised, we don't know whether that's true. It may have just been a logistical problem. It's not going to stand, so therefore, what good will it be? Not that it doesn't work while it's standing. That's an issue that we'll see later. Okay, so now the thing that we were left with was putting up a lechi that was going to be a lechi for the mavoi that was leading to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on one side. And even though that has no meaning in terms of the Rechava, after all, has its own gifufe, but the idea is that since it worked as a mechitza for the area that was previously a mavoi that was nifritza on that side, because it was completely open. So now it works as a new mechitza. Note, this is what we're going to be dealing with today. What constitutes a new mechitza so that even though an area was pre-existing, and if you open up your door from a house, you now make a back door into the area which was a backyard, that doesn't change anything. Even though it changes the use, it doesn't change the issue of the purpose, because you didn't change anything in the mechitza when you opened up a back door from your house. And if it's more than a Beit Satayim, we have this new requirement of purposefulness. That means that the mechitza had to have been made for purposes of diur. Changing its use to diur does not help ex post facto. So now, the question was, how can we easily turn that backyard into an area which suddenly becomes hukaf ladira? Yesterday, we thought the idea was that people opened up their backyard, the door from the house into the backyard. We'll see today that it turns out that we can't learn the sugya like that, because then we're going to get into trouble in a moment. So what we'd have to learn is that the usage of the rechava became usage for diur, not because of opening a house, which would have exposed different homes coming into rechava, but instead by making some type of public use of diur. Maybe we turned it into a swimming pool area where everybody would be coming, whatever the situation was, but that didn't help us because it was still more than a Beit Satayim. So we ended up with the machlokas yesterday, and let's go over that again. The last two lines. So let's start with the last word on three lines up from the bottom of Chof Dalet. Hilkach tetulei b'mata gufa shori, carrying in the mavoi that came from the town. That for sure is now good because we put up the lechi. Okay. I want to carry in the rechava. It's also good because now by putting up that lechi that helped for the mavoi, it now becomes a mechitza as well, a new mechitza for the rechava. Great. The question remains, however, what about carrying from the mavoi into the rechava or from the rechava into the mavoi? How about that? Now, right away we understand, whoops, doesn't that have something to do with the machlokas, the Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbana? Because these are different use areas. Okay. We have a machlokas between Rav Acha and Ravina. We don't know who said what yet. Chad asar v'chad shori. So one says it's mutter. The other one says it's asar. So one who says it's mutter says, why wouldn't it be mutter? I don't understand. There's no other people living here. That's why I say we can't learn that the idea was that people opened up their backyards, because if they did, then there are people living there. Okay, there's no people living here that are new diurin. So the question of diurin, throw that out of the window. Question of mechitzas, throw that out of the window. The only issue is over your use. Okay, but use isn't an issue, at least if you're all like Rav Shimon, it's not an issue, right? So since there's lek diurin, why not carry from one to the other? Whereas the other man, the Omar, says, well, there aren't currently diurin, but I mean, how do you know that that is a situation that you can rely on? I mean, after all, it may well happen that people will open up their houses into the backyard and all of the houses will open. Now you've got the urine in the rechava. Nobody realizes that although the use hasn't changed and the mechitzas haven't changed, that now all of a sudden they're not allowed to carry because they're going to need an Eruv, you see? So, okay, it was ultimately possibly a problem of the urine. Okay, very good. So that makes perfectly good sense so far. Now, what happens in cases where we have a problem of the purpose of construction, and we need to repurpose the construction? Now, there'd be two possibilities where we've got an area that's more than a Beit Satayim. Either we can repurpose it by making another mechitza. We talked about that yesterday. You can knock down more than 10 amas, and then it becomes porutz, and then you can rebuild it or rebuild just enough to get back to 10 amas, and then you've now basically created a new wall, so you've repurposed it. Or we had the case that we just discussed where you built the lechi that was useful as a mechitza, so because that's your new purpose of a new mechitza. That's one way of doing it. It's not clear. I mean, what would that mean? Suppose I put up another mechitza right in front of the first mechitza. Is that repurposed with a new mechitza? Can you make a mechitza where another mechitza already exists? Can you make a mechitza by adding like another 10 tefachim on an existing mechitza and saying, now I have a new mechitza because it's much higher? How far away would a mechitza have to be from a pre-existing mechitza in order to be considered to be a completely new wall? I don't know. These are issues we're going to have to think about today. The other thing that you could do, there's always a simpler issue. What you could do is you could reduce the area that is enclosed, because the problem only reaches when you've got a point of more than Beit Satayim. Okay, so suppose you only have, let's say, 100 square amas more than a Beit Satayim. You've got 5,100 amas. Okay, so then what you could always do is you could build a mechitza in the middle around 100 square amas, characterize that as a reshus bifnei atzmo, and then the area around would be exactly a Beit Satayim, and then it wouldn't need, because you were memayated. So one solution is to be memayated. The other solution is to repurpose the mechitzas by rebuilding them. Now, the question over there is also going to be a serious question, because in what sense am I memayated something if it's only right up against the area that there was? I mean, how much is considered to be memayit? Can I be memayit something by just, let's say, adding another layer of cement to an existing wall? So now the whole place becomes smaller. And what happens if I have a very thick wall and half of the thickness of that wall collapses? Does that now create more space? And I thought I had exactly a Beit Satayim. Now I've got a Beit Satayim plus another 10 square amas of what used to be wall. Also issues that we need to think about. And it's exactly what we're going to start thinking about today. So the next piece of Gemara wonders about if you got a karfab that is too big and it was not purposed for dira. You want to make it smaller. Okay, this is that one issue. There's one approach, make it smaller. Well, obviously, planting trees in it is not going to make it smaller, for the same reason that trees are not considered to be a miut of living areas in a chotzer, because that's not called a miut. The trees are part of the actual airspace and use of that area. So we will not see that as a miut. However, let's say you surrounded a particular area with a mechitza, or you made this pillar, this big pillar, and the pillar is so thick that it takes off the additional, let's say, 20 square amos, 100 square amos, whatever it was. You bet this big pillar, and the pillar is 10 tefachim high, and it's 4x4, so it's a reshus for itself. Well, that's obviously a miut. I no longer have that airspace available. Okay, now the question is, how about if the area that I need to be mamayit is, let's say, 5 square amas, right? So I build a pillar which is 5 square amas. It's tall, it's 10 tefachim tall, but it's less than 3 tefachim in its width. Is something less than 3 tefachim there or not there? Because remember, and the point of view that we're talking about lovud, I mean, things that are just within 3 tefachim of something else are not considered to be there as a separate entity. It's the whole thing is one thing. So maybe the pillar, if it's less than three tefachim wide, even though effectively you don't have that area, but it's batal because we don't note it if it's less than lava. So if it's less than three, so that lechora is not a miut because it's lava. But how about if it's post lava? So it's more than three, but it's less than four. Now, what's the issue there? More than three gets us into the lovat problem. Do we actually see it as a separate entity? Less than four is the question of reshuyas, because remember, a minimal area of 4x4 is necessary to make a place a different reshuyas on Shabbos. Does that matter over here? Or all that matters is that it, look, you see it, it's there, it's b'mayat the reshuyas, who cares whether it has a chashivas to itself? Okay, in one version, that's a machlokas between Rabbah and Rabbah. So Mishlosha ad Arba, Rava says, is the sound there? Is there a problem? We're okay? No. Okay, so Rava says that's perfectly okay. Rava says it's not okay. We understand the reasoning. If it's more than three, it's there. If it's less than four, it doesn't have chashivas as being an area that we look at and consider to be important anyway. Okay, if that's true, then we've got another issue that seems to be the same. And that is, let's talk about one thing you could do is making a new wall, which now repurposes the area to be a hukaf ladira. So now this idea seems to be related. Let's say you get four tefachim away from an existing wall, and you now build a new wall. Okay, I mean, if it's four tefachim away, so then the area between the new wall, which is closer to the houses, but still may be very far, this might be, you know, 100 basa'a, and you went ahead and you took it four tefachim away, then that's fine, because now you made a new mechitza that encloses an area of four tefachim. That's always kosher for Shabbos, and that new area is absolutely a different rishus. This area has been repurposed in terms of its construction. There's a brand new wall, and now it's hukaf ladira. So that's good. If it's less than three tefachim, you didn't do a darn thing, right? Because, I mean, less than three tefachim means all you did was you made the existing mechitza thicker. We're not talking, please mute yourself. We're not talking over here about the question of whether you've got less space. We're talking about an area where we've got 20,000 square amas. You're not making less space. You're making repurposed mechitzas, new mechitzas, right? But we're trying to interrelate the two sugyas, because in the same way that three tefachim versus four tefachim is going to be an issue as to whether the thing is there in terms of miut, it might also be the same issue as to whether the new mechitza is considered to be choshev as a repurposing. So if it's four, everybody would agree. If it's less than three, obviously, then it's lovud and it hasn't repurposed anything. Again, the machlokas would be if it's between three and four. So that, according to Rava, should be good. And according to Rava, it's not good. The same idea, right? I mean, Rava's saying, look, it's more than lovud, so it's there, and therefore you can't view it as an extension of the old mechitza. Whereas Rava says, who cares if it's there? It's not a meaningful mechitza if it doesn't enclose an area of arba tefachim. This was one approach that Machlokas Rava Varaba. Rav Shimi actually had a completely different way of understanding it. The way he had been mekabel the Machlokas between Rava and Rava is that everybody agreed that if it's more than lavud, meaning it's three tefachim or more, it's definitely good. The question over here was whether it's less than three tefachim. And there was a machlokas about, and who cares? If it's less than three tefachim, you're saying that it's not there? It's there. In effect, it's really lessened the area. And in terms of this machlokas as well, it's not just an extension of the other mechitza. It's really considered to be there, and that would be sufficient. Everybody is made, and the machlokas of less is the machlokas between Rav and Rav. Now, suppose all you did was you added another layer of plaster. And that ended up removing the 10 extra square amos, because you put on thick plaster and you reduce the area by having plaster. Now it's less than Beit Satayim, or maybe less, right? So let's say Tochbotit. Well, then it depends. If that tit is going to be able to be strong enough to actually stand up, that's considered to be a miut. Whereas if it can't stand up on its own, it's not a miut. Now, that doesn't make much sense. Why would you say it's not a miut? So Rabbi says, I don't understand. Do you have the space available to use? No. It's all covered with mud. I mean, that's not space. It's sticking out of the other wall. Rava said, something that just falls off on its own and doesn't have an ability to stand, even though it's currently here, is not considered to be choshev to even be memayit the area for use. Okay, let's talk about other cases. Cases where, let's say, one side of your yard, this yard which is too big, is a tell. So it's a hill. There's people living on top of the hill, tall hill. People living on the bottom of the hill. People living on the bottom facing the hill have an area that's more than Beit Satayim from the house. And it needs to be, again, it needs to be either redefined by making a new mechitza or to be mamayit. Okay. So suppose you go ahead, you move back four amas from the edge of the hill and you build a new mechitza. Now remember, the hill serves as one side of the mechitza to the people in Rehovah. So then that's fine, because now you've got a completely new mechitza. But if it's less than three tefachim, we said everybody is meida, that if it's less, at least according to the way we originally understand, so if it's less than three tefachim, or suppose you went up to the edge of the hill, so then there's a machlokas between Rav Chista and Rav Amnuna, whether it helps or not. So the question over here would be, if you hold the Chad Amar Ho'il anyway, it must be because he holds that even a mechitza on top of an existing mechitza, because it says over here you built it on the edge of the hill, so you put it on top, so then that would be a new mechitza. But why would it be a new mechitza? There already is a mechitza. The hill is a mechitza. So apparently putting one mechitza on top of another mechitza is considered to be okay. Now, you say you don't know who said what. I do, because apparently it's Rav Chista that says it's good, because it says beferish that Rav Chista says if you build one mechitza on top of an existing mechitza, there are two issues that need to be looked at. Is it a mechitza for Shabbat? That's vis-a-vis our sugya. Rav Chista says it is. How about if the area is that this mechitza is around is an area that belongs to a ger who has no children, and he dies, and now all of a sudden the whole thing is without owners. So this is called nichse ager. Anybody who wants to can go ahead. The first person who comes along gets to keep the property because there's no heirs, which means that now it's hefker. We're not used to the idea somebody dies, things are hefker, but this would be a case where there's an individual who dies without heirs. Now, what happens? You can easily be kena this whole massive estate by just digging a hole in it and planting something in the hole, or just maybe putting on a new lock. How about building up the wall, another 10 tefachim above the wall that currently exists? That would be mechitza gabi mechitza. Is that the same? If Rav Chista holds a mechitza gabi mechitza is useful for Shabbat, does he hold that it's good for nichse hager? No, because in order to be kena with chazaka, you need to make an improvement that makes a difference in terms of the property. And therefore, since over here the property was previously shamur, the difference between having a wall of 10 tefachim or 20 tefachim is not significant as an act of kinyan. And Reb Sheshes is the one who said that it doesn't even work for Shabbos. So now I know who holds what. It's Reb Sheshes who says it didn't work, and it was Reb Chista who said it did work if you built the mechitza on top of the tail. Says Rav Chista, hold on just one moment over here. If you're living in the tell, Okay, now obviously, you didn't make that hill so that it should be purposed for a mechitza, okay? So if you're living in that area and it's more than Beit Satayim, and it came first, as hills usually do, before you built your house, and now you've got the area around your house is more than a Beit Satayim, and but this is my yard. Yeah, I know, but it sort of came here before you got here, so therefore you can't use it if it's more than Beit Satayim. How about if you built a mechitza around it? So you'll say, oh, well, I mean, there's already a mechitza, because the tail is the mechitza. I mean, the reason that this is Rosh Hashayachid is because the edges of the tail, although I don't see them when I'm standing on the tail, they are there and they completely surround me. True? How about if I add another 10 tefachim above the edge of the tail? Says Rav Chisda, in that case, Rav Sheshes admits that I'm right. Why? Because when you're living on the tail, there's no awareness and no visibility to the mechitzas. They're just there. So now all of a sudden, what used to be just a sheer drop, as far as I'm concerned, is now surrounded by a lovely wall. That is definitely considered to be a new mechitza vis-a-vis Shabbos, because that's what's important to us on Shabbos. It's not the same as Nichse Ager. And that's because my time, the individuals living on top of the tail are living within, for the first time, visible mechitzas that now they can relate to as avir. All right. The question is, getting back to the issue, building one wall on top of another wall. Let me ask you something. Suppose you did build that wall. You thought it would work. There you are, having spent $5,000 on building this wall. Oh my God, the rabbis are saying it's useless. Now you're stuck with this big, tall wall, which didn't do anything for you. Well, what happens is that during Shabbos, there's a big rainstorm. And what happens is that the foundations of this wall become now foundations in quicksand. And the wall sinks into the ground. And now you're left only with the new construction. Okay. All right. A theoretical case. So now the lower 10 tefachim are now underground, you know, so you're living in Yericho, you know, and now you've got the upper section. Does the upper section start counting at that point or not? So remember, the idea over here is the mechitza, the purpose of the mechitza. Can your original purpose, at which time it wasn't considered to be a mechitza, now be effective to redefine what happened? Because what happened, happened on its own, right? Okay, says the Gemara, now wait a minute. We've got to make sure we understand. Are we talking about vis-a-vis Nichse Hager, or are we talking about Shabbos? If we're talking about Nichse Hager, so then I can show you that things that happen on their own are not considered to be your purpose. Because we got a question like this. There was a case, Yirmiyahu Biraa said that there was a case of a guy who came to a Nichse Hager. He takes a turnip and he throws this turnip into a little crack that was in the ground from before. He throws the turnip into a crack, and another guy comes along and he digs up a little bit of the area around it, right? So the question is, who was Kena? And what we paskin over there was that you can't be Kena. The first guy wasn't Kena. Only the second guy was Kena. Why? Because at the time that you threw the turnip into the crack, there was no change that was made in terms of the value of the property. It's true that later on the turnip grew and now the property is worth more. And if you could have waved the magic wand and put in a turnip garden, of course you would have been Kona, but there is no way to do that. Obviously, if you would have dug it up, you don't need a magic wand. So over here, you tried using just the hole that was already extant, despite the fact that when the turnip grew, that was because you made that difference, right? Nonetheless, we paskin that if the turnip goes to court and insists that it is the legal owner, then that would be okay. But in this case, the turnip never made it to court. And you're the one who's claiming that you should have the rights to the turnips. That the turnip did. You didn't do that. So ki kashavach, memela kashavach. The same thing would be true over here. The fact that it goes into the ground and now all of a sudden it's there, the change, the improvement, which is the chazaka, did not happen because of your purposefulness at this point. So it's exactly the same question. Now, when it comes to Shabbos, what's the issue? The mechitza became a mechitza for the first time on Shabbos. Aha! But remember the rule, any mechitza that becomes a mechitza on Shabbos is still perfectly okay. Doesn't matter how it became, even became a mela. Wait a minute. We have the same sugya we had before a couple of times. Wait a minute. Doesn't Reb Nachman say that it's only called a mechitza if it's made on Shabbos in the case that you throw from a Rishus HaRabim into it? I can't deny it's a mechitza, but that doesn't mean that the Rabbanon would allow you to be semich on this mechitza to be metaltel. And over here you're saying, well, now I can use it because now it's a repurposed area that is more than Beit Satayim. And the Gemara gives the answer, it always gives. No, Reb Nachman doesn't mean that you can't use it as a mechitza. Reb Nachman was talking about if a guy made a mechitza but made it on Shabbos, that the Rabbana didn't allow him to use it. It has nothing to do with our kids. Fine. All right. So now there was actually a maisa like this. A woman comes along and she puts in thousands to build this beautiful wall extension on top of a wall that already existed on this estate of a neighbor who was a ger, didn't have any children. And another guy comes along and he digs a little hole in the property for planting turnips with. So then he comes to Reb Nachman and he says, can I own this beautiful estate? Says Reb Nachman, sure. He gives him the keys to the estate. The woman comes into court and starts shouting, I just spent my entire life saving on building up this mechitza. What are you giving it to this jerk for? All he did was make a hole in the ground. Like, what am I supposed to do? You didn't do anything which has the shame of a chazaka. So next time, ask before spending. Okay. Now the question would be, how about, and this is now another type of mechitza which we haven't really spoken about until now in any detail. And this is called the idea of pi tikra yored v'sotem. When you have a roof, and that roof has an edge, and it's a horizontal edge, we're going to learn this sugya like Rashi entirely, this edge of the roof is a type of good achit mechitza. And therefore, it will come down just as if you built something up there. It comes down as part of that halakha l'moshe mi-Sinai, as a pitikra v'yored v'sotem. If, however, the edge of the roof does not edge, for instance, you put up a board at an angle to get the rain to just fall off of an area, you know, next to your house, you could put some soda bottles there or something, then there's no facing edge. And if there's no facing edge, then there's no then a pitikra, because there's no pet. There's no pitikra. Okay. We haven't discussed the issue of pitikra in terms of the questions that we've been dealing with. In other words, can we be memayit a space by using a pitikra? So let's say we've got three beit sa'a, too big for an area that wasn't hukaf ladira. So we put up a pergola in the middle, right? And that pergola has got no walls. All it's got is this top. Can that be considered to be a miut because it's a different rishus, which now would be not part of the overall three beit sa'a? Now that area was reduced to two beit sa'a. So Rava says, yes, absolutely. It's going to be the same as it was because you just walk through it. Who cares? It's a pergola. So now there's a beautiful pergola in addition to your backyard. But the whole thing is still more than Beit Satayim. And the whole thing wasn't purposefully enclosed l'chatchila for diur. Rabbi Zera says, no, what are you talking about? This area is its own separate area under the pergola, and that is not added. That's called miyatro. It's not miyatro. Ein avir kiryo miyatro. So the covered area is not incorporated into the uncovered area. which seems to be an old machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, about what happens to pergolas that are made in the middle of an open area. So Rav says, if you make an achsadra in the middle of an open valley, and the only mechitza that you have is the invisible one of the edges of the roof coming down from the pergola, Rav says, that's fine. You can carry in this pergola. What? There's not, yeah, no problem. And mutilatal telbekula, again, this is Rashi's approach. Tosfos has a different approach. According to Rashi, there are no mechitzas here. Shmuel says, no. This is like a karmelis. You can only carry within arba amos, because Rav holds Amrina pitikra yord v'sotem on all four sides. And Shmuel says, no, you can't say pitikra yored v'sotem to close off that area if there are no walls. Now, according to Rashi, if there's any, even if there's one wall, then Shmuel would have agreed. Okay, so apparently Rava and Rabbi Zera are arguing about the same thing. If the area that was roofed is considered to be a different area, so then your more than Beit Satayim area is closed. Answers the Gemara, maybe, but maybe not. Because it's possible that the machlokas over here is regarding not a classic pergola, which is flat, but rather you made it ki urzila. An urzila is like one of those corrugated roofs, you know, that you just put up against a wall and the rain now slides off of it. But that doesn't have a peh. That's at an angle. So the machlokas is whether, according to Rabbi Zera, we would even allow something that is not a peh facing you to be considered pitikra yored v'sotem, which is a different question. Now, there's one additional area where Rav Zera says, look, but I am moda. In the case of a, and this gets us right back to the issue of different purposes, I am moda to you that in the case of a karfaf, which is exactly a Beit Satayim. Ah, so if it's exactly a Beit Satayim, it now is defined by its usage, right? Okay, so this is a karfaf. And on the other side of it, there's this chotzer. And now this karfaf is totally open into this chotzer. It's got no sidewalls. It was wider than the chotzer. It's open. I agree that it's usser. Why? Because the airspace of the chotzer makes it bigger than Beit Satayim. Says Rav Yosef, that's nuts. How can air, which was considered to be mutter originally, all of a sudden usser? I understand. Let's say before it was completely open to the chotzer, can't I carry between the karfaf and the chotzer? Remember, according to Rabbi Shimon, yeah, I could, as long as we don't have a problem with the difference to Urim. So how does the fact that now it doesn't have a wall between it, why does that change anything? How could the chotzer add, it's a different area, how could it add space? It says, Abaya, hold on a second. You're asking this according to Rabbi Shimon, right? That's Rabbi Shimon. You're saying you could still carry between them. Yeah, but even Rabbi Shimon is made over here for another reason that you didn't think of. The reason is this. The area was originally exactly Beit Satayim, which gave it its definition. But the moment that the walls fall down, now you've got the thickness of the walls that are added to the Beit Satayim. And therefore, it's more than a Beit Satayim. So those walls add another 10 square amot? Absolutely. So now you won't be able to carry there. That's what he meant, even only by the Rabbi Shimon. I'll prove to you that that's really true, because Rav Chisda said that in a case, and this makes no sense on the surface, and all of this is beautiful because it allows us to really conceptualize the different issues that are involved. So Rav Chisda says like this. You've got a karfaf, and this karfaf, the wall fell down, it's a completely open into a chotzer. So you know what? The chotzer is mutter, and the karfaf is us. Okay, now I know what you're thinking, but you're wrong, because I'll show you. Look, why do you think the chotzer is mutter? Chotzer is mutter, I'm assuming, right? You can say the classic case. Because when you're standing in the chotzer, you see the gifufi, you see the edges of the wall on either side. But when you're standing in the karfaf, you do not see anything on the side, right? So therefore, you're going to say, okay, So relative to the Karfaf, so we have something that's completely open. So now the Karfaf is open to the Chatzar. Relative to the Chatzar, it's a classic case of the Chatzar Kata now opening up into the Chatzar Grono. We had all of this with the mission later on that we've discussed literally a dozen times. Ah, but you see, that's not possible. Why? Because then it's crazy. Why talk about a case of a Chatzar and a Karfaf, for God's sake? I mean, and what if it's the other way around? What if the Karfaf was smaller than the Chatzar and the wall fell down? I mean, you say the same thing, right? So then the Chatzar is usher, because now the Chatzar is totally open, and the Karfaf is mutter, because now you have Gifufi in the Karfaf. So that can't be the reason, because then why in the world would he have used the word Chatzar and Karfaf, which is totally irrelevant? It's just a question of what was the larger space. There's only one explanation for why it only works in this direction, not in the other direction. That's because a chatzar that loses its wall, what's wrong? It's bigger than it was. A chatzar can be as big as you want it. If you're going to leave it to Rabbi Shimon, it's not talking about an area that is osurla. Mashen came the other way around. This is going like, obviously, like Rabbi Shimon, because otherwise the whole thing doesn't make sense. The other way around, if the wall of the Karfaf was the one that became Porut, forget about the Pirtza per se. That's not the issue. The issue is the extra space that's added by the wall that collapsed. See? I told you. Okay, now, we also had interesting questions like this. Purpose of mechitzas. Imagine a case like this. Beautiful orchard. So you can't carry there on Shabbos. Now, a guy wants to build this, his own beautiful mansion, right? And he wants very much to have this orchard to be his backyard. Now, it's gigantic. And how's he going to make it mukaf ladira? Simple. He'll build his house up such that one side of the orchard has the wall of his house next to it. Now there's this new mechitza made by his house, which repurposes the enclosure of the orchard. Great. Okay, what happens if the wall falls down? So there is an earthquake, the outside wall of the house collapses, leaving us the classic picture of post-earthquake bedrooms, bathrooms all open to the outside. So what's the halacha? Yes, Rabbi Barnea is pointing to exactly those situations. Okay, you don't see the mansion here at all, but Barnea does. You have to have a different way of looking at life. So anyway, in this case, he loses the wall around the beautiful orchard, correct? So now the question is, can you still carry in that area, or since the only wall that turned it into a mokum, the mezukah of Ladira, is gone, too bad. Now you can't even carry in the orchard. So Rav Bibi said, okay, so what? The outside wall is gone, but what about the walls of the bedroom and the bathroom inside the further wall? That's still there. Only the outside wall fell. Says Rav Papi to Rav Bibi, you are a real idiot. Because of the fact that you come from people whose lives are cut off, you say these cut off ridiculous things. This, we've had this thing, because he was from Eli, right? And he was from Abaye, and Abaye was from Eli, and this is Rabibi Bar Abaye. You can't use mechitzas. You're telling me that the inside mechitzas of the house were made for the orchard? Bull. The mechitzas of the inside of the house were made for the bathroom and for the bedroom. The only mechitza that had purposefully enclosed the orchard was the outside mechitza. So this is not an extension of that idea. Because, I mean, we were talking about building new mechitzas that were further away from the original mechitza. You can't ex post facto repurpose them and say that when I build a wall to a bedroom and an inside wall, that all of a sudden that inside wall can take the place of the outside wall. That's ridiculous. And therefore, levaroi lo avdina. Okay, gentlemen. Excellent. We'll get on to the next case, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow, and we will get back to our Kalim this morning. And finish it up here. Just stop this recording. You'll note that I posted